Good morning. It's good to be sharing our service again today, even though we cannot actually see each other. First of all, the context of this passage. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the farewell messages of Jesus, giving comfort, encouragement, instruction, and warnings to his disciples. We have thought about remaining in the true vine, and last week we looked at the overwhelming evidence, the indescribable love and the uncompromising obedience of Jesus as he lays down his life for his friends. Today, we are going to look at the world, the disciples, the challenge, and the power. First of all, the world. This word is used a lot in John's writings, 78 times in his gospel and 24 times in his letters. So it's quite a theme of his. There seem to be 10 words for world when I looked in the analytical concordance. John uses cosmos, which can translate as the universe, the earth, people opposed to God, or the human system opposed to God's purposes. This is what he means in this passage, the human system opposed to God's purposes. Jesus said that the world will hate him and persecute him. In the same way, he warned that the world will hate his followers and that they will be persecuted also. Hatred is a strong word to use. It is more than just disliking or preference. So, who is he speaking to? His disciples. Who are they? The 12 apostles, called and chosen to be with him, to be sent out and to preach and have authority. Firstly, the fishermen, then Matthew, the tax collector, Thomas, and the rest of them. Also, many others, disciples, people like Zacchaeus, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, Nicodemus, friends and families who were called by Jesus to follow him, to do what he said and to live how he lived. They would be with him in his ministry, and his vision statement was this: he was anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, and to proclaim that now is the time for salvation. They may have still had their occupations and livelihoods, but they were committed to his cause, his kingdom ministries. The challenge. First, a history lesson. History is always subjective. You may remember, or you will have heard, of the swinging 60s. Our parents were brought up by Victorian parents, full of restrictions and rigid guidelines. Then they had the turbulent Second World War period, followed by a time of great inventions. They could fill their homes with electrical appliances, radios, TV maybe, fridges, vacuums and washing machines. We suddenly came into a time of freedom and it affected young people. You could turn up your hems and let down your hair, literally be different. I could enjoy walking the streets of London barefoot. You could go on marches, be rebellious or be radical. There was a lot of choice. At the same time, churches took off for young people. There were coffee bars, camps, and crusades. Into the atmosphere of newfound freedoms, there was also a strong call to give your life to God in a radical way. We sang, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back." It was a clear call. Life from now on was going to be different, but there was a whole army of us doing it together. I think the pull of the world is different for each generation. For my children, now in their 30s and 40s, they had different peer pressure challenges when being called to be disciples of Jesus. And now my grandchildren, with so much media influence, conformity issues, and global systems for them to grapple with in their quest to be disciples and follow the kingdom values of Jesus. But the Lord will provide the way for each generation to do what Paul says in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Duke Street Church is not prescriptive about what is or is not worldly, in inverted commas. As a fellowship, we present what it says in the Bible and leave it up to the individual to work out for themselves how to live in the world but not be of the world. Stop for a moment, now or later, and think about the challenges that you face, the pressures of the system that's opposed to God's purposes. What do others face, especially children and young people? In chapter 16, verse 1 to 4, Jesus gives his disciples a warning and a challenge. He is telling us these things so that we will not go astray. The Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. There would be an excommunication from social relationships and maybe from worship. A time would come when anyone who kills a disciple would think he is offering a service to God. And that prophecy came true, starting at the beginning of the church with Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. We recently watched an old film called The Robe, which reminded us of the incredible hostility that the early Christians suffered from the Roman Empire. The whole of the New Testament was written under a time of fierce persecution. When we were training to be missionaries in Buckinghamshire, we learnt to pray for the world in a large chapel where on the walls there hung big black and white portrait photos of martyrs. No wonder we learnt to pray. One of these martyrs was John Hayward, a 29-year-old missionary from Nichols in Birmingham. In 1966, he was killed in the Vietnam War while working in a leprosy hospital. His young widow gave birth to a baby girl just a day after the funeral. There were other photos on the walls of folk who died for their faith in Africa and India. It made a lasting impression on all those who prayed in that chapel. We have a friend who was brought up in the Middle East. She was sent as a child to a school for the blind in Bethlehem because she was partially sighted. While there, she became a believer in Jesus and was baptized. But later, when she returned home, her family turned against her. They wanted her to have a good education, but not a personal Christian faith. She was taken by her long plaited hair and beaten up till she nearly died. But her faith remained strong. She later managed to get her passport and her independence and escaped to the UK, where she has lived for over 40 years, still praying for the salvation of her family. Jesus warned his disciples that they might lose their lives for following him. Some of them did, and it has happened ever since. Now we come to the promised power. Back to the challenge for all of us as disciples of Jesus. In John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father for his disciples and says the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than he is of the world. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." The Lord knows and prays for us about the challenges that we face as we work out how to live in the human system that is opposed to God's purposes. But also we have the promise of his power. Verse 26 says, "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." This is great news for us. We are not just trying our best 2,000 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus to follow in his footsteps and remember his instructions. What a desperate state we would be in. No, we have power, the greatest power there is, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who draws alongside us, who will dwell in us, God's powerful presence here with me, in my home, in my head, in my heart, in my soul, directing me, enabling me to live. I may be living in a time of isolation and concern, physically separated from people and fellowship, but nothing, nothing can separate me from the loving presence of my Saviour and Lord. Jesus has promised that whoever believes in him will have streams of living water flowing from within him. This is the power that we need to live and testify that we are his disciples. Jesus promised it, and now is a time to prove that his promises are true. The conclusion. We often quote from A.W. Tozer, who lived in the last century. He wrote, "Modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it, never from her integration into it." The Lord bless you as you live out your life this week, whatever your challenges are. Take hold of the promises that Jesus gave his disciples and be strengthened by his power and presence. Take heart, Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Don't forget that we can still pray for each other, even if we are not gathered together in a building. Ask someone to pray with you over the phone. Francis and I are available today or in the week if you would like to talk things over and pray together. God bless you all, and hope to see you soon.